So the last topic that we talked about was sort of future direction. And actually, you kind of got into it with your talk also, because I had asked you to check out what was going on with venetoclax in breast cancer, because we've been, you know, we had just come from ASH, and you can imagine we did an entire symposium on AML, and like 90% it was about venetoclax, which is really amazing. You know, again, we were working with Rich Stone and a bunch of other people. But when we were talking to the leukemia people, they were going, well, you know, biologically, maybe we see similar things in breast cancer stem cells. So whatever. And then I saw there was a randomized trial looking at it. Asked you to check it out. What do you think?
Yeah, so my understanding at ASH is they more or less are now putting venetoclax in the bottles of water they're handing out to attendees. Same with pembrolizumab at ASCO, I suppose. It's just, you know, you register for the meeting and you get a supply of pembrolizumab. You know, what's interesting is that BCL2 is expressed in many breast cancer lines and in many breast cancers in people. And there have been some provocative data. There was a randomized study of tamoxifen with or without venetoclax, and it looks to be reasonably well tolerated. And there was some hint that this would improve progression-free survival in ER-positive advanced breast cancer. So there are these studies getting underway, and I think it's kind of a cool thing to explore. So hopefully, I mean, wouldn't that be great if there was this whole new class of drugs that you could bring into the breast cancer space? In retrospect, you know, that's one of the surprising things about the CDK4/6 inhibitors. You know, if you go back to 2010, you didn't hear a lot of people really talking clinically about CDK4/6 as this great pathway to go after in breast cancer. And yet now it's a $7 billion a year drug market, and this is a standard of care with three commercially available products. And, you know, to introduce a whole class of drugs like that over a decade is really quite remarkable. So, you know, there's a lot of things still being sorted out with advanced breast cancer. The role of immunotherapy, I think, is the single biggest piece. There's been some fits and starts and some provocative findings in triple-negative breast cancer. ER-positive breast cancer, so far it's been, you know, swings and misses, but, you know, there's still interest in figuring out if you can get a second wave of IO products to make more of an impact. There's interest in looking at combining anti-HER2 therapies with immunotherapy and all sorts of things. The HER2-positive space continues to evolve remarkably fast, and I'm sure you're doing a session on the new DSA201 data, the second antibody-drug conjugate, and the tucatinib data from the HER2CLIMB study. So, you know, breast cancer had a bit of a fallow time for a few years, but we're back, baby, and I think that there's really a lot happening in the overall space again.
Yeah, the GI people are all excited about tucatinib and trastuzumab and daratumumab, and, you know, whoa, yeah, interesting, and yeah, it is amazing. And also the idea, this thing about with venetoclax, you know, taking and just trying in a completely different area.